Mike Silver, 95.7 The Game Insider, NFL Network. Mike, have you tried the White Claw yet? What do you think?
I'm not a big White Claw guy, but I would drink a Pliny right now. I would drink Pliny the Elder. I would drink Pliny the Younger. I would drink a Blind Pig. I'd be very happy.
There you go. Mike, how happy are you with this position the University of California is in right now? I mean, my gosh, we've had Weaver on this week. We've had Justin Wilcox on this week. Tomorrow night, we're hyping up this game at Memorial Stadium. This is a big one.
I'll be there. Apparently, I'll be on the microphone shortly before it, so check it out if you're there.
Are you going Mike Man to the student section?
I don't know what I'm doing, but they're handing me a microphone. I know that, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Good luck to you, Mike.
I'll tell you, it's been fun. They have a narrow path to victory every week. They're really well coached. They play exceptionally hard, and you know, they're getting the most out of what they have, and it's been really cool to watch. And Weaver is, I compared him the other day to, he's like Jefferson on Fast Times at Ridgemont High after the car gets wrecked. That's pretty much, that's what he looks like.
I can fix it.
Yeah, I mean.
But I can fix it.
he's everywhere. And so, yeah, no, it's really cool. I mean, you know, obviously, long way to go. You know, taking nothing for granted at all, but I'm excited to watch them play tomorrow.
I love when a guest talks me into a segue. You talked about a narrow path to victory. Five turnovers is usually a narrow path to victory.
Yeah. You know, I was at that game. I just, it's interesting because I wondered at halftime, it was 6-3, so you figure you turn it over four times in the first 18 and a half minutes and you're down 6-3 at the half, you're feeling pretty good. And, you know, let's say two of those four turnovers were on Jimmy. I'll give him a pass on the first tipped interception, and then there was another fumble that wasn't him. So if you're down 24-3 or 28-3, it's a whole different psychology in terms of, you know, the quarterback. He struggled in the first game. Now it's halfway through the third game. I feel like it's a pressure packed situation. To his credit, he played a lot better in the second half. They did have that last turnover and overcame that through a great ball for the touchdown that won it. And, you know, I think we're going to rightfully see it as a positive. And one thing that struck me, by the way, with him is that he is really hanging in, hanging tough in the pocket and taking hits, which I think was a fear a few weeks ago coming off the knee, and you know, that's not unusual, but a guy coming off a major injury maybe wasn't hanging in as much, but he's hanging tough. So anyway, all that is good, and they caught the Steelers at the right time, but give them credit, you know, they can only play who they get sent, and they've done a nice job to be 3-0.
Is there anything disturbing in the fact that Garoppolo is getting hit as much as he's getting hit? And would you anticipate that changing anytime soon? Because Cleveland is going to be more relentless in the pass rush than Pittsburgh was, and then L.A. comes in and makes it all the worse. Is that a potential danger sign for you?
That's, you know, I mean, it's not ideal, right? And you've got, you know, your best lineman, your left tackle is Joe Staley is out, and you know, most teams can't usually snap their fingers and go, okay, I'll just plug in a new left tackle who's awesome, you know. So, you know, to some degree, they have to scheme their way out of it. And, you know, Jimmy's got to be part of that by seeing it quickly and getting rid of the ball the best he can. And the good news is they can run it real well. And, you know, they're very, very smart about how to run, how to set things up and play action and all that. But, yeah, I mean, it's not an ideal situation when you've got a guy that is your guy and he's coming off the torn ACL. You want to see that he's hanging in, which is awesome, but you don't want him to have to do it as much as he is.
Mike Silver, NFL Network, saw a story today that the owners have put 17-game schedule on the table, looking to reopen a little CBA negotiation. What do you think of that?
Well, it's a 2-17 in two preseason as opposed to 4-16. So I like the two. That's the first part. By the way, and Ray will remember, when I was a kid, it was 6 preseason and 14 regular season. Imagine that. That was really a that's how they trotted it out, six. And by the way, if you were the defending champs, you played seven because you played the college all-star game, which is one of the most surreal things ever in retrospect. The defending champions would play the returning college all-stars in an actual game of football that, of course, didn't count. But if you're the pro team, you can't lose. Or
except that I think
should.
The Bears lost once, didn't they?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, because I'm sure they weren't playing their real team. But, like, yeah, it was a weird, weird thing. But, yeah, so I like the two. As far as 17, you know, I mean, I think the good part of 17 could be this. You could do a built-in neutral site game for everybody. And so all this London and Mexico and the idea that they can grow – that part of it and maybe play games in places like, you know, Canton, Ohio or whatever, where you don't have actual NFL teams. If you could do that right, that could be how you do 17. Everybody gets eight home games, plays eight road games, and plays one neutral site.
Yeah, the NFL could go back to Winnipeg for 80 yards of fun.
Yeah, let's, I mean, wow. by the way, like, I mean, it's been a trifecta of awesome if you count Dayton, where they had that first practice this year, and A.J. Green in the first practice of the season, a league-mandated practice in Dayton, messed up his foot and is still out. You've got Winnipeg, you know, all-time fiasco. You've got all the Canton stuff, and I was there the day with the Colts and the Packers in the game that wasn't played and the weird paint and all that, and then, of course, Mexico City last year. So, you know, hey man, it's a performance business. It's a world we all live in where we all have to perform, and yet maybe not in all facets.
Mike, want to wrap up with this, and we thank you as always for popping on with us. Peter King was on, and we were just asking him about, you know, the NFL, where it stands right now, the future, and he brought up the fact that Roger Goodell has been conspicuously absent from all centennial celebrations, and we really haven't seen him at all, and that's probably by design, and it's probably the right call, given how unpopular he has become. I don't really want to talk about that, though. Every league has had a little bit of a succession plan from commissioner to commissioner. Adam Silver was groomed. Roger Goodell was groomed. Who's being groomed, if at all, is anyone being groomed to take over one day for Roger Goodell?
There's been talk of different people at different times being groomed. So I know it has been on people's minds, but I don't know that at this moment in time I can tell you definitively it is this person being groomed. And I'll poke around on that because that's an interesting question. But so ask me again in a few weeks. But the you know, the unpopularity thing is funny because a major part of his job is to take the metaphorical bullet for the 32 people who pay him a lot. So, in other words, many of us would take the $43 million a year, which is probably higher now. That's the last time it was reported, in exchange for being the bogeyman. And instead of fans and people just reflexively going, man, I don't like Mike Brown. Man, Michael Bidwell. It's not, you know, now it's all right. Roger who is doing their bidding. So, and by the way, I'm not absolving him. Like, there are tons he deserves to be criticized for, and I do it sometimes. I'm just saying, I feel like if you're Roger, you're like, okay, so the job description is everybody hates me, but the people that I shield pay me insanely and give me a private plane. Like, yeah, I'll just do it. So
Melvin Gordon, least effective holdout ever?
Not ever. I mean, there have been people who I've seen holdouts that, you know, kind of negatively impact careers and all that. But yeah, he didn't seem to have a ton of leverage on paper going in, and you know, it didn't work out that it was, you know, it didn't go well for him. Now, you know, listen, Austin Eckler could have got hurt. They could have, you know, really sputtered and been unable to run the ball. So, you know, there were scenarios where he might have felt more needed. But, you know, parents, don't let your kids grow up to be running backs as it stands now. Most abuse and get the least financial leverage. It sucks.
Thank you, Mike. By the way, Ray didn't tap out of this interview. He just quietly started choking and coughing off microphone.
Well, that'll be me that'll be me tomorrow night at some point if things aren't going well, but hopefully after I've already been on the mic. So we'll see how it goes.
Good luck to you tonight, buddy. Or tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Mike Silver. Always good to talk to him from NFL Network. Little NFL Insider right there. Good stuff as always.